Dodgers drama continues to heat up. Tim Tebow might become a Jaguar. Sports fans and their feelings towards instant replay. And LeBron James continues to display why he's the biggest fraud in sports. LaValley Sports Talk begins right now. What's going on, everybody? Welcome into another edition of the LaValley Sports Talk Podcast, brought to you by the Soundline Network. As always, I'm your host, Chris LaValley. Hope you all are doing well and staying safe. Let's kick off the pod. We're going to talk LeBron James. So LeBron is now complaining about the play-in tournament now that his team is struggling and in danger of dropping into the tournament. Now, he is not the first nor the last player to complain about the tournament. Luka Doncic had made a comment about it a few weeks back. Didn't really get as much publicity because Luka is not LeBron. Now, I would not have an issue with LeBron bitching about the tournament if he didn't make the comments that he made last year. So we're gonna get to that in a second. But let's look at who LeBron is, right, as a person. And LeBron is quite a few things. And I think we need to highlight what he is, right? So LeBron is a fraud. He's the biggest fraud in sports. He's a liar. And LeBron's the worst type of hypocrite, I think, imaginable at this rate. Now, usually, he's flouting and touting these type of accolades while addressing topics he knows little to nothing about. Topics like history, political and social issues, and reading books. Now, he's displaying his idiocy, on a topic he actually knows very well, which is basketball. Now, this brings me to where he's a hypocrite. An NBC Sports column quoted James last year saying that he wanted a play-in tournament for the NBA playoff berths. He talked about it last year. He thought it was a great idea, and he supported that. The other day, after the Lakers lost their second straight game since he returned from injury, James said this in regards to the possibility of the Lakers falling into the play-in tournament, quote, "Whoever came up with that shit needs to be fired," end quote. So not only is he a hypocrite, he's also an idiot. Like, you just made the comments last year that you were in support of this play-in tournament. And now all of a sudden, when your team's about to fall into said play-in tournament, now all of a sudden that person should be fired. The whoever it was in the NBA front office that decided to implement this idea, whether it was Adam Silver or somebody else, they now need to be fired, even though you supported that play-in tournament last year. See the problem here? Captain Frontrunner over here is once again proving that he needs all the odds in his favor in order to succeed. And that's what LeBron is. LeBron is the poster child of being a frontrunner. Think about it. Think about his career. LeBron ran away from Cleveland to Miami to team up with two superstars because he couldn't do it by himself. Quote unquote, by himself. So he had to go jump on a team with two other top 10 players or top 15 players in order to win a championship. He then, once that team started breaking down, D-Wade wasn't what he used to be. Chris Bosh was so-so. He bounced, went to Cleveland to then team up with two other players that were considered in the realm of the top 10, top 15 at that point in time. He then bounced out from Cleveland, ran to LA in the hopes of getting either Kawhi Leonard, who was arguably a top three player in the league at that point in time, or Paul George, who was still, again, top 10, top 15. Neither one of those players ended up going there, but he got Anthony Davis, who is coincidentally represented by Clutch Sports, who is part-owned by LeBron James and also run by his good friend. So, again, what are we doing here? Like, and the best part about this, though, is that there are people on social media who are actually waking up to LeBron James' flagrant hypocrisy and the fact that no one's buying into LeBron James' act anymore, or at least most of the sports public. I can't say the same thing about the media, because once again, the media is just, rather than calling him out for his hypocrisy, the media is immediately going, well, you know, LeBron James does have a point, and, you know, I can kind of understand where he's coming from here, because, you know, he's the best player in the world, and he's trying to come back from injury, and now his team may have to be in this play-in tournament, and God, that's got to be tough for him. And like, come on, Like, can we stop? Can you guys stop just for one time? I'm just asking for one time. Can you all be honest about who LeBron is and what he is? The dude's the biggest crybaby in sports. He really honestly is. It's always got to go his way. And when it doesn't go his way, he is looking to deflect blame on everybody else as quickly as possible. And the problem with sports figures like LeBron James and others, particularly in the NBA, more so I think than in any other sport, is they're so pampered from the point of entry in the NBA until when they retire. They only surround themselves with yes men. They never get any type of pushback because everyone is, particularly in the media, is scared of them. Why? I've never been able to figure that out. You know, the same media that says, oh, we're going to speak truth to power, except for the fact that they never speak truth to power. They're too busy sucking up and carrying drool cups for all of these damn NBA superstars. It's just, it's gross. It really is gross. But again, it's just, it's nice to see that sports fans are, or at least sports Twitter anyway, is starting to wake up and kind of take the blinders off when it comes to LeBron, because Twitter, for the most part, is left socially. So, you know, they were backing him and they backed the NBA with all of their social justice movement and all that stuff last season. But now sports fans are kind of like, okay, like, we respect you on that end of the spectrum, but we're not going to let you get away with completely changing your tune when it comes to the actual game of basketball. And when it comes to the fact that you now have to persevere through some tough waters here. And rather than, you know, just sucking it up and realizing that you supported something last season, but now that it may affect you negatively this season, you're going to trash it. No, we're not going to let you get away with it anymore. And that's a positive. One more quick NBA note before we move on to the NFL. So the MVP conversation is starting to heat up here as we near the season's end. And I've been seeing stuff on both social media and on the, you know, the sports networks, the various debate shows about who should be the MVP. I've seen Joel Embiid. Now people are talking Chris Paul all of a sudden, which I think is crazy. I'm not saying Chris Paul doesn't deserve some MVP love, because of what he's been able to do for the Phoenix Suns. He's turned them from being a lottery team essentially to now being, may end up being the number one overall seed in the Western Conference. But Nikola Jokic is by far the MVP this season. He's been the most consistent player all season long. The dude's averaging 26.3 points per game, 10.9 rebounds, 8.5 assists, and he's first in PER at 31.36. I don't understand how you can argue against him. You know, he's shooting 56.4% from the field and 40.9% from three, which is incredible. Absolutely incredible. So I know that there's arguments to be made. Joel Embiid's name is throwing out there. I was the James Harden guy for a while. I can't stand James Harden, but what Harden was able to do this season for the Nets up until he got injured, I thought was tremendous. And I was kind of thinking maybe Harden's going to end up being the runaway MVP. Obviously, LeBron was in that conversation early on in the season up until he got injured and missed 4 weeks of playing time. I don't see how you can argue against Jokic. I think he's been the best overall player all season long. When you really, you know, just you look at the numbers, you break it down, he's just been absolutely incredible. So, you know, we'll see what happens when it's all said and done. But I would put my money on Jokic actually winning, and hopefully the NBA writers get this one right. So the Aaron Rodgers drama continues to heat up, and it really depends on what side of the Aaron Rodgers spectrum you fall on how you feel about what Rodgers has been doing over the past couple weeks. If you're pro Rodgers like I am, you're in complete support of him trashing the Packers and pretty much setting fire to the place and saying, look, you guys need to trade me. I'm done. I'm tired of the bullshit. I'm moving on. You guys continue to draft defensive players, never drafting talent from me. Last season, in the first round, you drafted my replacement. Well, guess what? If Jordan Love is so good, you might as well have him start now because I'm done with you. And then you have the people that aren't fans of Aaron Rodgers that think the way Rodgers is acting is ridiculous. They think he's a crybaby, whatever it may be. And there you go. It's interesting, though. I didn't realize how many people in the media don't like Aaron Rodgers. I know Rodgers isn't beloved. I know that he's not on the same spectrum as like Brady and Manning, Mahomes, Lamar Jackson, and others, where people really like those guys. I know Rodgers has always been crusty with the media. He's kind of been hit or miss. But I always felt like he had at least enough backers in the media where it didn't matter. Apparently not. Like, people are coming out of the woodwork here, taking shots at Rodgers. You have Terry Bradshaw, who came out the other day and said that Rodgers is dumber than a box of rocks, which is funny coming from Terry Bradshaw, who's been notably known for not being the most intellectual human being on the face of the earth. And he was also saying that Rodgers needs to grow up and stop being such a crybaby because of the Packers drafting Jordan Love. And what's funny or ironic is that Terry Bradshaw flipped out back in the day when he was the starting quarterback of the Pittsburgh Steelers, when the Steelers drafted his replacement. Terry Bradshaw went out of his mind in the media about that. But I guess it's different for Terry Bradshaw, and he can do that, but Rodgers can't. So, you know, whatever. But anyway, there's an article by my man Greg Couch, who I've trashed before on this podcast, and the title of it is Aaron Rodgers is Blowing It Big Time. And in the entire article, he talks about how Rodgers is throwing a temper tantrum, and this is the holding his breath stage because Rodgers refuses to just sit back and allow the Packers to completely sabotage the remainder of his career. And Couch has notably been anti-Rodgers' entire career. He's very much like Skip Bayless in that way. Like, Bayless is very anti-Rodgers, anti-LeBron. Couch has been the exact same way. He's trashed Rodgers at every opportunity. If you, honestly, like, just take your Rodgers hate out of it for a second. If you're just looking at this objectively, and you sit back and you look at what the Packers have done, and I did this already on this podcast. I'm not going through the litany again. But if you go back and you just look at who the Packers have drafted during Aaron Rodgers' tenure, it's insane. They have never once drafted any offensive weapon for him in the first round. Not one. And what's worse is Green Bay is notorious for not doing anything in free agency. They never sign players in free agency. So, like, having Jordy Nelson, that was luck. That was luck. They drafted him later in the draft, and they lucked out that he happened to be a star. Same thing with Davante Adams. It's not like they go out of their way. They've never gone out of their way to try and set Rodgers up for success. They've just sat back on their heels and said, you know what? Rodgers is great. We can just do whatever the hell we want. And I've heard the arguments of, well, look, Tom Brady never had any help, and look at all the success he had in New England. Yeah, but he also had the greatest coach of all time. Aaron Rodgers, for the majority of his career, had Mike McCarthy, who we've learned very quickly, specifically in this past year with Dallas. Mike McCarthy is not the head coach that everyone proclaimed him to be. Aaron Rodgers had more to do with that Super Bowl than Mike McCarthy did. And we all know that now. Mike McCarthy has been completely overrated as this offensive genius. He's not. So rather than give him any type of talent, they've drafted all of these defensive players. And what has that gotten him? What has that gotten Rodgers? What has that gotten the Packers? Again, one Super Bowl appearance in Aaron Rodgers' entire career. Aside from that Super Bowl appearance, the Packers' defense, all of these great draft picks, supposedly great defensive draft picks that the Packers have given Rodgers, and that's the way that the media is framing it, they've given Rodgers all this help on defense. They've never been a top 10 defense. If you go back and you look at the playoffs, Rodgers' defense, these great defenses, averaged somewhere between 24 and 28 points per game in the playoffs. Think about that. So that means Rodgers is going into a playoff game knowing that if I don't score at least four touchdowns, some way, shape, or form, in this game, we're going to lose. So it's like a quarterback going in with one arm tied behind his back going, figure it out. You have to figure it out. I understand he's the quarterback. I understand he's the leader. I understand he's the highest paid player on the football team. And I get all of that. But you can't sit there and compare, and this brings me back to the Brady and Rodgers comparison, when you're comparing the fact that, oh, well, Brady never had offensive talent aside from the years with Randy Moss, and he had Gronk for a few years, but he's never really had superstar talent all around him. It's mostly been Brady. Okay, and I agree with you. Brady is the greatest quarterback of all time, and yes, he did have a lot to do with the success of the Patriots. However, he always had at least a top 10 defense, if not a top 5 defense, when he was being successful in the playoffs and winning those Super Bowls. So again, you all these people out there who just want to trash Rodgers right now, you guys can't have it both ways. You have to be intellectually honest here. The Packers have never done anything to help Aaron Rodgers succeed. And now I'm seeing people come in the woodwork being like, oh, you know, Packers are going to be fine. Let Rodgers go. They've got Jordan Love. Love is going to be great. Really? Really? Jordan Love. Did you watch him in college? Did anybody watch Jordan Love in college? I've never seen so much hype around a quarterback that did nothing in college. Jordan Love was not that great. He's going to be a complete bust. And if Jordan Love was so damn good, the Packers would have made that trade with the 49ers. The 49ers were offering the farm to the Packers for Aaron Rodgers prior to the draft, and the Packers said no. Why would you say no if Jordan Love is so damn good? If Jordan Love is as good as being advertised by everybody in the media, why would the Packers say no? Why would you say no to the number 3 overall pick in the NFL draft if you've got the quarterback of the future sitting right there? That just doesn't make any sense. And I'm just going to close it out with this. Rodgers, for all the people out there who want to crush him, did not immediately after the season say, get me out of here. Although he had every right to do so. You heard him in the press conference. He was not happy about the fact that the ball was taken out of his hand. You knew that. And frankly, he should have been pissed off that the ball was taken out of his hands. You had the MVP. He knew he was going to win the MVP. Everybody knew he was the MVP. You took the ball out of the MVP's hands at the end of the game, and it cost you a chance to go to the Super Bowl. But he was measured, and he was reflective, and he kept his mouth shut for weeks on end until it led up to the draft. And some people were like, oh, well, he wanted all the coverage because it was around the NFL draft. It surrounded the NFL draft. He was just trying to make the Packers look bad leading up to the draft. So what? Maybe he was. Or maybe, just maybe, he took the time to think about it and finally came to the conclusion, you know what? I just don't want to be here anymore. I'm tired of giving you guys 100%, winning multiple MVPs, being at the doorstep of making it to another Super Bowl to only fall flat, not because of my play, but because of the fact that of the lack of talent that I have around me and the fact that you consistently draft everything but offensive weapons to help me succeed. So Tim Tebow might end up playing football once again, only not at quarterback, at tight end. So last week, Ian Rapoport reported, leading up to the start of the draft on Thursday, that there's a real possibility that Tim Tebow will be playing tight end for the Jacksonville Jaguars. Rapoport was quoted as saying, "It was fun. It got a lot of retweets. It's also real. The relationship between Tim Tebow and Urban Meyer is extremely close, sort of like father-son. The connection has been there since college, him signing in Jacksonville. Nothing is done, but it's certainly a real possibility. The position switch that so many wanted might actually happen at 33 or 34, end quote. Tebow to the Jaguars, or playing tight end to the Jaguars, I think would be an awesome story. I don't know how successful Tebow will be at it. He hasn't played football since 2015. I mean, that's a lot of years of not training. I mean, look, I know he tried to make a career of it in baseball, and that was a failure as well. I always loved Tim Tebow. I thought Tim Tebow got screwed in the NFL. And I will say this for years. For all the people out there, and it's funny how this gets buried, all the people out there that talk about how Colin Kaepernick got blackballed by the NFL, go back and re-watch what happened with Tim Tebow and how he got blackballed. You want to talk about a player that got blackballed in the NFL? I give you Tim Tebow. The dude got screwed in Denver, which is part of the reason why I can't stand John Elway. You want to know where my John Elway hate came from? It was right there. It was right there. He drafted Tim Tebow, drafted him in the first round, and then he turned around and he ended up screwing him, even though Tim Tebow took a sorry-ass team that had a losing record to the playoffs and won a playoff game against the highly favored Pittsburgh Steelers in overtime. No one talks about that. Everyone just kind of, you know, oh, well, that was a fluke game. It was a fluke game. The guy threw for three touchdown passes, had the game-winning touchdown pass, but yeah, you're right. It was a fluke game. Sure, whatever. Whatever you guys need to, you know, whatever you guys need to believe. And then it was always, well, Tim Tebow can't throw. He sucks. He's not that great. Okay. Well, again, he beat the top defense in the league in overtime, but yeah, you're right. He must have been terrible. He then had another season in Denver where I believe the Broncos won like 8-8 or something like that. And then they released him. And he ended up in New York with the Jets. And Rex Ryan did this whole big press conference about how, oh yeah, no, there's going to be a quarterback competition. Sanchez is going to have to earn his starting job. They kept Sanchez as the starter and they turned Tim Tebow into a gimmick. And that was the end of Tim Tebow's career. So you want to talk about somebody who got screwed in the NFL, screwed over in the NFL. He should have at least gotten another opportunity to start somewhere. He should have. You don't have to love his stats. And I'm not saying that the guy was the greatest thrower of the football of all time, because he wasn't. He hovered around 50% of 50% completion percentage. But the dude was clutch as hell, and he won football games. It wasn't always pretty, but the dude found a way to win games. Anyway, I don't know. I don't know if this tight end thing is going to work out. I do think he's going to get signed. I do believe that will happen. I don't think this would have gone viral, or Tebow's people or even Urban Meyer's people would have allowed this to go viral if it wasn't practically a done deal. Again, like Rappaport had reported, Tebow and Meyer have a father-son relationship. I don't think Meyer would ever set Tebow up for failure in that way, at least media-wise. So I do think Tebow will get signed. I don't know if he's going to be, and you know, if he's going to be in there a whole hell of a lot, but I still think he will be in the league. And that's awesome. It's an awesome story. It's a great story. Is it? It's probably going to be for like a 1-year contract. We'll see what happens. But it definitely makes watching the Jaguars that much more interesting. And Jaguars are already going to be a must watch because everyone wants to see what Trevor Lawrence can do and obviously see how successful Urban Meyer can be as a head coach in the league. And now you add Tim Tebow on top of it. That's must see TV right there. Not to mention, that should be the team that the NFL gets for Hard Knocks this season. So everything is stupid this week. I want to touch on sports fans and instant replay and really lock in on how fans can't have it both ways. So look, sports fans want the refs and umps to get the calls right unless it goes against their team. Now, I'm bringing this up because there was a call the other day in a Phillies game where originally there was a home run call for the Phillies, which then after replay, it got taken back and it ended up being a ground rule double. The Phillies ended up losing the game because the home run didn't count. And then Phillies Twitter was ablaze of, fuck the refs, they suck, they didn't get it right. They clearly got it right. Anybody who watched the highlights of that game and watched that instant replay, it was clear as day that that ball was not a home run. And that's what it comes down to, is that sports fans want the refs and the umps to get it right unless it goes against their team. And it's a vicious cycle for officials, and they can never win. If they miss the call, the fans crucify them. If they go to replay, get the call right, but it goes against a particular fan base, the fans and sometimes the media crucify them. I mean, you even had Philadelphia sports media crushing the umpires after the game. It's like, what? Like, it's one thing to, look, I get it. You're a Philly, you're pro Philly, you're a fanatic, that's what you do. But you gotta at least live in some sort of objective reality, though, at the same time. Look, it's one thing if the refs or the umps get the call wrong They show it on replay or whatever, and they still miss the call. And then if you want to lose your mind, lose your mind. Have at it. But when replay goes up, they watch the replay, they clearly got the call wrong initially, and they're reversing the call and making the right call, and you're still losing your mind, well, then you're just an obnoxious jackass. And you're ignorant, and there's no point in listening to you. And that's what a lot of these fan bases have turned into. They've just turned into obnoxious, ignorant morons. Particularly in Philadelphia, by the way. And I'm hitting on Philadelphia here right now, and I don't even care. Y'all are soft in Philly. You are some of the softest fans I have ever listened to, seen, read in my life. Heaven forbid your players just suck or don't come up with a clutch hit or make the clutch catch. You got to blame everybody except for the team. And real quick, man, Joe Girardi has turned into a giant baby. He's the equivalent of Doc Rivers in the NBA. All he does is bitch and moan and groan in press conferences about the umpires and how, oh my God, like we're getting screwed with these calls left and right. No, you're not getting screwed by calls left and right. You're not. The refs made the right call. The umps. I keep saying the refs. The umps made the right call in this particular space. And this brings me back to coming back to how officials can't catch a break when it comes to sports fans. Yeah, you want the call to be right, but then when they make the call right, you bitch and you moan about it anyway. You know, it's akin to the scene in Mighty Python when they throw the presumed witches in the water, and the scene goes, if the witches float, well, then they're a witch. Or excuse me, if the women float, then they must be a witch and they must be killed. And if the women sink, well, then they weren't witches, but they're already dead. So, oh well, our mistake. Like, that's pretty much what it's turned into, is no matter what the umps do or the refs do, they're doing it wrong. And sports fans need to determine whether or not they want to get the call right or they just don't care anymore. And if that's the case, then let's just eliminate instant replay. And I'm all about eliminating instant replay at this point. I find instant replay to have become just this giant weight around sports. And it makes the sports drag so much, particularly in the NBA near the end of basketball games. Good God. And in the NFL. NFL games would be like a half hour to 45 minutes less if they got rid of instant replay, particularly in certain challenges or people are trying to figure out what the hell. We still don't know what a damn catch is anymore. So, look, if you want to eliminate instant replay, I support that 100%. With that being said, though, it's likely never going to happen at this point. We've come way too far in technology, and it's advanced to such a degree that I can't imagine any sports league getting rid of instant replay. So again, fan bases need to decide if they want to get the call right or not. If they want to get the call right and the call doesn't go your way, well, that's just the way the cookie crumbles. Grow the hell up. Stop being so fucking weak all the time. It sucks. You lost the game. But you had plenty of opportunities to win the game. Philly still could have won that baseball game, by the way. It wasn't like that ground rule double screwed them. They still had people coming up to bat. They just choked it. They choked the game away. That's on Philly. That's not on the umps for making the right call. And I know I'm trashing Philly. It's not just Philly. It's every fan base. New York. I mean, we're a bunch of crying babies too from time to time. Then you have Boston fans. They're insane. And look, I'm not pro ref here. I'm not sitting here, you know, slapping the refs on the ass being like, hey, you guys are the greatest. Look, refs fuck up. They do. They screw up all the time. Officials screw up in every capacity. But again, you got to be somewhat objective. Otherwise, you can't have a sports debate with if no one is willing to see reason. Like, if you're not willing to see reason and at least come at it at some sort of a neutral perspective, and I understand that's difficult. Look, I get it. You're a fan base and you're passionate about your team, but you can't flip out on social media, or you can flip out, but you sound like a jackass. You can't flip out and try and have a logical debate about replay or about officials in sports if you're going to die on an ignorant hill. because nobody wins. And at that point, anyone who's trying to take up that argument with you or take up that debate with you might as well just slam their head against a wall, because they're clearly not going to sway you in any way, shape, or form, and they're just going to get frustrated, and you're going to come off as a complete buffoon. So in the last word segment, I want to touch on a podcast that I happen to stumble upon called Daddy Issues, and it's hosted by everyone's favorite host, Joe Buck, and Oliver Hudson, who's Kate Hudson's brother. And I found the podcast completely by accident. iTunes, I don't know, for those of you who have iTunes and use Apple Podcasts, every once in a while I'll scroll down and see, you know, podcasts you may be interested in type deal. And that one popped up, and I saw that Joe Buck, who I do like, as I talked about last week, was one of the hosts. And I said, oh, you know, I'll check this out, see what's going on. And I was scrolling through, seeing the different types of guests that they had on. And a couple of weeks ago, they had John Stamos on, who was promoting his new TV show that's on Disney Plus, where he plays a basketball coach. And so I downloaded it and I listened to it, and I found it really enjoyable. Now, it's not a podcast that I'll listen to every week. It's definitely something I'll listen to depending on who the guest may be. And I like John Stamos, so that just worked out. But anyway, it was really cool. All three of the guys were extremely vulnerable, and they talked about their relationship with their fathers as well as the relationship that they have with their kids. As being in John Stamos's situation, he's a relatively new father. He's got, I believe, a three-year-old. So he was asking Oliver and Joe for advice. Joe Buck's got four kids, I believe four or five kids. He's got two older daughters from his first marriage, and they're both in their 20s. And then he has, I believe he has twin boys. I think that's it, but he may have another son too. But he has at least twin boys, and they're in, I think they're like 8 or 9 or something like that. And Oliver Hudson has three kids of his own. And throughout the podcast, they just were swapping stories. And I found it interesting. I really did. They were talking about, you know, when it came to how they punished their kids, if they believed in spanking, if they didn't believe in spanking, did they grow up being spanked? You know, Joe Buck, for instance, was saying, you know, he's like, I didn't get spanked. I got the belt. You know, obviously it was a different time back then. But, you know, it was just really cool hearing different stories, different tips and tricks and what they do when it comes to, you know, various aspects of parenting. And as a new parent myself, who's got a 6.5-month-old, I'm constantly looking for advice, tips and tricks, and I'm reading a lot and watching and listening to various things to try and learn as much as I can, because I don't know shit. You know, I'm a new parent, and you know, I'm always open for any type of advice that parents are willing to give me, and I'm very open to that. So if you're a parent, or particularly a father, and you're looking for something interesting to listen to, I would highly recommend checking out that podcast. I think it's well worth your time. Again, I don't know if I would listen to it every single week. Scroll through, see if there's a celebrity on there that you enjoy, and check it out. I really don't think you'll be disappointed. All right, everybody, that's going to do it for this week's edition of the LaValley Sports Talk Podcast, brought to you by the Silent Network. As always, thank you so much for tuning and listening. I greatly appreciate it. Please be sure to check me out on iTunes, subscribe, rate, and review. And while we're there, we got plenty of other podcasts for you, including Drinks with Dan, Richo's Rant, Richo and Lala, and Spaceball. That is it. That's all I have for you this week. Hope you all be well, stay safe. Talk to y'all again soon.